Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Junkies live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, where you can see our in-studio guests nightly now on DC Sports Live. Let's welcome in Michael Jenkins and Travis Thomas.
Yes.
The new one-hour show covers sports, lifestyle, and culture from the perspective of Washington area fans. It's 10 p.m. weeknights on NBC Sports Washington. Welcome, fellas. Good to see you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks
very
much.
I would say like low end culture, not low end culture.
Like, I'm like, who wrote that?
Are you guys like talking about opera and what's going on at the Kennedy the Kennedy Center?
Well, the operato last evening was amazing, Travis, wouldn't you agree?
I'm sure it was.
Don't take offense to this, but I have not seen the show because 10 o'clock is way too late for me. Even on a weekend, I'm asleep by 10.
Yeah.
So give me an idea of what you guys, are you guys kind of covering the day's events? Or are you covering certain topics? Are you just kind of recapping the local sports from that day? What are you guys doing?
All the above.
Yeah.
And then some. I mean, literally, we'll sit in meetings and we'll come up with what we think a sports show should be. And some of the producers will say, yeah, but we're not talking about this rapper or this thing going on in pop culture or this thing. So I think our show, I would call it a variety show, kind of late night meets sports.
Kind of a smorgasbord.
Yes.
Oh, a smorgasbord.
You like that word?
A cornucopia.
Oh, that's a good word, too. They all
Now,
work.
How did you guys pair up? Were you guys just buddies, or was it their idea to pair you guys up? How did that come about?
It was basically both. I mean, we wanted to work together for a while, and they also had this idea, hey, you know, you guys are both very outgoing, so we want to come up with some new programming that's really fun and sports-related, but also you can talk about 2 Chainz if you want or something.
Right, right, right.
And so they said, so they came up with this concept, and they've really been nice in sort of letting us, you know, letting it breathe, letting us come up with different ideas within the hour, so it can include a lot of different things besides just sports. So we're trying to make it more sports entertainment and just a lot of different things that, like you said, the smorgasbord of topics.
What's interesting is I've produced for Jinx before. I started behind the scenes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As you guys know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I produced for him a number of times. And we've done a couple of skits together here and there for our digital side of things. And I think someone along the way saw the chemistry that we have because we are buddies. We have shared a couple cocktails outside of the office.
Good few of those.
That's bonding. It's camaraderie.
It's bonding.
That should be encouraged.
And so I think, you know, someone noticed our chemistry and said, man, these two are crazy. It'd be pretty cool to put them together for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember Travis definitely produced some stuff that we did.
He was doing.
Was it Geico football? We did some bits.
Yeah,
I can't remember the one thing we did with the popcorn.
It was so long ago.
You remember that bit? We did something
It was
wacky.
Like a red carpet thing or something.
Yeah, remember? We did something.
Yeah.
There was always bits on that show. There's always at least one bit segment.
I know that show. The only problem with that show is I didn't like the time of day we were filming that because I always had to be somewhere.
Right.
So
I
always was ready to leave.
Well, see, I was going to ask you guys.
I was not the best guy.
I was going to ask you guys. So you guys, because when we did a night show,
I
was consumed all day with what we were going to talk about. You know, I get up in the morning. You know, I could sleep in a little bit, obviously, but I would just think about the show all day.
Kind of consumes you.
Yeah, it really does. But you guys do a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah.
So you guys got to be thinking, what time do you get in? How long are you there?
Well, also
afterwards?
You have to conserve your energy, too, because, like, we'd like to play golf, but you got there to play golf, and then you come to the station. I mean, you got your golf in, but you're exhausted.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Rich guy problem.
And by the way,
guys,
so
I like to play golf. I'm not sure how I can do a show when I've got to get my golf.
You got to have a life.
You got no happy hours in your life right now. You got zippy happy hour.
Well, you got to work those in. Like, we actually did a segment at the World of Beer last week, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to do that during the show and air that segment, which turned out really good.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it is strange because you're sort of constantly thinking, what am I going to do on this show? And then things evolve, right? Because something will break at 5:30 and everything you wanted to do sort of changes things
up. Yeah, but those are good because that means it's hot.
You especially in the summertime, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I'm like my boy John Paul Fire Flame. I'm a hustler, man.
Yeah.
I do this show.
Right.
I do the Santana Moss podcast. I'm on weekends here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm just getting it, man.
Yeah, you are.
And what do you have there? Props, you have these little promo things?
I always said if I come to the Junkies, I would come bearing gifts. So I wanted to give you guys cheer cards. Actually, these people
are... Hold on a sec. Wait a second.
Yeah.
These need to be autographed.
Here you go, Jakes. Jakes loves these.
You guys need to sign these.
No, I'm very upset because they cut off my hair. They put this thing in Microsoft Paint and gave me like a fade from 1993.
He's got the Gumby.
Like the left side of your hair.
They totally chopped it off.
Yeah, they
and you don't have good hands.
I don't spend 2 hours a day on this for no reason, guys.
Travis rocks the bald look, but you have good hair. It should never be like photoshopped or done whatever they've done here.
These
bad.
Guys have both been in the business for a long time, but their show's a week old, and they already got better promos.
I mean, look at that.
We don't have anything like that.
22 years, we never had anything.
Listen,
that
they
good.
Were passing these out at the championship parade. I saw a couple the ground.
Nice.
But hey, NBC Sports Washington did a great job.
Yeah, they. You know what? They do.
The hustle
right.
is real.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of hustle. During the Caps run, Jakes basically hustled himself onto the DL. Like he couldn't cover some of the at least one of the games because he was out and about so much with the people doing interviews.
Yeah.
And you were killing it, by the way.
Thank
doing
you.
It. That, like, for I think it was game 3 or 4 where you're just like, you know what? I have a 102 degree fever and you still wanted to go to work, but your wife is like, you're crazy. You're going to die.
I got really sick. Like, I don't ever get sick, but I got. Because I was hugging, and it wasn't just how's it going. It was like, I want to give you a hug, which I love,
right?
But it was also, I've been sweating for 3 hours, and I'm hammered, and I bet I did that to 100 people, and so I don't know what sort of germs I had, but I woke up one day and I had over 101 fever, and my wife was like, "What?
Probably caught AIDS or something,
full blown,
yeah,
just straight out of the gate."
Scary, man.
And I sat out one game, and then there was game 7 against the Lightning. I said, "I got to go."
Right.
And she said, "What the hell is? No, you're not." And I said, "No." I said, "This is a game 7.
Right.
Uh-huh. This is to go to the final.
You had to suck it off.
I'm going." And I mean, I looked like death, but I went and sucked it up, and I finally got better. I'm feeling a hell of a lot
better. How'd you get through it? Is it just fluids, or are you just downing Sudafed?
You know what? I finally had to go to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor, and he looked at me. He was like, "Okay, so your throat's inflamed, your ears inflamed, your lymph nodes are swollen. You're really sick."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, can you give me something?" He said, "Well, I can give you a shot now, and then like a Z-Pack." And I said, "If you give me a shot, I can make it through."
Yeah.
Wow. So I got the shot, sucked it up, and I'm okay.
Very nice.
You know what? It paid off, though, because when I was out there with him covering all this madness, the fans love
you're
this
nice.
Guy.
Yeah.
They love
They love
him.
Them some Jenks.
Yep. They love him.
I love him back. I mean, when you can go through something like that and experience it with that many people, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Right. When did it become a reality to you? I thought theoretically, and I said before, if they beat the Penguins, they're going to win the whole thing. But it was more just kind of a theory.
Yeah.
It didn't really honestly dawn on me until I think about, what was it, maybe game 3, where I thought, you know what, they are going to win this thing.
Game 3 of which series?
The end. At the very end.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, and you're like, I thought they could do it, but I didn't know they were going to do it. Until, like, pretty much the middle of the series.
For me, it was game 1 of the Tampa Bay Lightning series where they just kicked their ass.
They did. Yeah. They came out.
And you said they're going to win the whole thing?
Yeah, I did. But I felt like you. I think every Caps fan, once we got over the hump of the Penguins, I think we all felt, whoa, could this be the year?
There's a possibility of it,
But to me, watching Tampa all season, top team in the East, Stamkos is a beast. I mean, they have some real stars on that team. And I thought, man, I don't know. I don't know if they can beat Tampa. To beat them the way they did.
Well, the resilience they showed. Yeah. They win the first two. And then
Tampa.
They drop 3.
Right.
And then you're like,
but then they shut them out in games 6 and 7.
And,
right.
Yeah.
So I feel like
blitzkrieged them.
They destroyed them. So for me, that was the moment.
You know what I loved? And this is when I knew things were different. And I thought, maybe these guys are just going to pull it out this year. It was right before game 6 because they had to win 6 and 7 against Tampa. And they showed Holtby walking in. And, you know, he's always been sort of a head case at times during his career.
Right.
You know, you see him on the ice, you know, staring down everyone right before he plays. And he walked in, must-win game, all the pressure on him. He had this goofy smile on his face. Like he was getting ready for a workout. And I've never – normally it's all business with these guys. They're in their heads. And I thought
– they all believe.
These guys, they really just – they feel like they're going to be fine. And that had not been like them
and I think
at all.
You have to give some of that credit to Coach Trotz for guiding them and navigating them through that and saying to them. I'm sure when they were in the dressing room, he's saying, look, guys, let's just play the way We know we can play. We're talented. We're more talented than these other teams. If we play our game and stick to our game plan, even if we're in a 3-2 hole, we're going to be okay.
We saw him skate the hot lap, right? Yep. I mean, he was keeping the team loose, keeping everything loosey-goosey. I don't want to talk about Trotz.
I will say this,
the wound is still open.
Because fresh. Immediately after he was gone, like how quickly we forget, I heard from fans who were like, no big deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, listen, you just won the first cup in franchise history.
Right, that's right. A big deal.
There have been plenty of coaches with this franchise, mm-hmm. with plenty of talent, and all of a sudden Barry Trotz was just a guy. Let's not do that.
Yeah, right. Why did the front office treat him like just a guy, though? That's the thing that's so annoying.
I think they
really believe in Reardon. Mm-hmm. I think they truly believe that Reardon is the guy, and I think my guess is that Reardon probably had a lot to do with the game planning and a lot to do with the execution day-to-day with Trotz, and so they felt like, hey, Reardon was a huge part of this, even though you didn't see it, so mm-hmm. we're really comfortable in letting him take over.
That's a cold business decision, though. Yeah. I mean, because honestly, you win the cup, you should be friggin' rewarded.
I know.
You shouldn't be saying, you get the $300K that was triggered automatically in your contract 10 years ago.
It might be a situation where, like in football, sometimes the head coach is seen as kind of just a figurehead, but the coordinators are really the motors.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's what happened. I mean, Trotz, I give Trotz a lot of credit. But maybe the organization felt like, you know, Reardon kind of made, he pushed the buttons.
They clearly didn't value him as much as you would think they would.
Right.
Clearly.
So
it's kind of
sad. Now, if somebody wants to put a $300K bonus in our paychecks,
I'll
take it.
I'm all about it, I'm sure Travis and Jenks would be as well.
Yeah. Well, they're making big
money. As we're speaking to our corporate overlords right now. Right.
People are upset that Trotz is gone. Wait until they lose a Beegs. I think most people think they're going to be able to find a way to keep Carlson.
I think Carlson's gone, bro.
You do?
I do.
If they lose Carlson, then there's really going to be some boo-hooing. Yeah. But this is what happens. You can't bring everybody back, especially when you win.
Carlson reminds me of Mike Green. You guys remember him?
Yes,
I feel like I think Carlson's a better player overall than Mike Green.
Yeah.
Mike Green was kind of a one-trick pony, but we all loved him at the time. Mm-hmm. I think Detroit ponied up, gave him the money, and he was out of here. Carlson feels like that to me.
And Carlson, this is the perfect time for him to be a free agent because there aren't that many good defensemen
that are
UFAs.
He's like the crown jewel.
He's going to get a big number.
He's going to get a big number, for sure.
I think that we heard his age is going to start with an 8.
Right.
You know, what's he making now? 4. He's making 4.
Wow.
It's good to double your salary.
Double it.
It's a good thing, generally.
I mean, that's what happens when you win a cup, right?
Yeah.
I didn't expect them to lose Trotz. I didn't expect them to lose their head coach after winning a cup. But there's no doubt that they're going to lose some guys. And if they keep Carlson, it'll be interesting to see how they can do that because the cap's going to go up a little bit, but I don't think enough to help them out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
See if they can squeeze that
$8 million
under their cap.
Are you guys geeked up for the draft? It's not like it used to be, right?
You guys going to be recapping the Wizards front pick tonight?
We are geeked up, though. How do you feel about it, Jinx?
I'm excited. Listen, at 15.
Not like it used to be.
That's a lie.
It's not like it used to be.
It's hard to get excited for 15. Don't they get Kelly Oubre at 15?
They got Oubre.
You can definitely get a good player.
You can. I mean, Steve Nash was a guy at 15. Giannis was a guy at 15.
Yep.
Kawhi was a guy at 15.
I guarantee you this. I'll bet anybody any amount of money. There will be an all-star pick from 15 on.
Yes.
It's just a matter of are they going to find them.
Yeah.
I really want them to get, it's a stretch, but Michael Porter Jr. out of Mizzou.
Oh, you're grasping.
I've seen him.
Yeah, but you know what? Without those injuries, he's a top five guy.
Unless you trade up.
But you don't think he could follow 15?
Hell no.
Really?
We heard the guys today say he could go 5 or 6.
I don't think he's
going to go pretty high.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think so.
6'11 could shoot it.
If you're young and you have injuries like that, why would I take – I want no parts of that kid.
Mm.
And that's what I'm hoping that some NBA team will say, the injuries are scaring us off, it's a back injury, and just maybe he drops to 15.
Yeah, but he's gone through all the physicals.
I know.
He's probably been cleared by all those teams.
I'm trying to get excited about 15.
It's hard. Right. I think
it's really hard.
I see what you're doing over there.
Can we just make the pick? That's what I want.
Exactly.
Can we just
trade out of it. Don't sell it.
I don't care who we take.
Right.
We just make the pick. Don't trade out.
So annoying.
They have to keep it. They have to.
We're joined by Michael Jenkins and Travis Thomas in studio. They're the hosts of DC Sports Live. It airs on NBC Sports Washington weeknights at 10 p.m. So be sure to watch tonight. More with them next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Junk Saw on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you're watching on TV, you'll see our in-studio guests, Michael Jenkins and Travis Thomas. They are the hosts of DC Sports Live. It's on NBC Sports Washington weeknights at 10 p.m. They're going to talk about opera. They're going to talk about museums. They're going to talk about the real hoity-toity culture of the D.C. area, right. Along with some witty sports banter. All of that thrown in.
We'll sprinkle in the sports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't forget the wine and cheeses. Yeah,
exactly. There are wine fans out there.
So you guys are not excited about the draft. You just want the Wizard to make a pick.
That's
right?
What I
you don't have a guy that you're targeting. Has it gotten that bad that we were so apathetic here?
It seems like the buzz is all about Robert Williams out of Texas A&M.
Well, that's because
it's
a need.
He's the guy.
Yeah. He's a need player.
I said this on our show many times. All I need is a big man who can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Are you athletic? Can you run the floor? Can you grab some boards? Get me some garbage buckets, couple blocks. That's all I need. All I keep hearing, though, around the Wizards draft is a guard, a combo guard to help spell Beal and Wall. And
No. I think you're right. I think like a Robert Williams actually might fit that bill, right?
Yeah, because athletic. Let's be honest. Mahinmi is a $17 million a year disaster.
Well, that's the problem with the draft. I think that's why everyone is frustrated, right? Wow. Because they could add a piece like a Robert Williams, but ultimately, if you look at the team as a whole, they're stuck right now.
Right.
They're stuck in this place with these contracts.
They got
everyone
huge
knows
numbers,
that, yeah, they could improve, but it's only going to be incrementally because they're stuck with these guys that you know don't have a future here.
Right.
All right, so let's move over to our Nats then. Are you guys as panicked about Bryce as some are? Or do you think this is just, you know, a thing? He's a great player. Of course he's going to break out of this.
I think the person panicking the most should be Bryce, because if he continues to play like this, he's going to cost himself some money. Now, obviously, we know the number is going to be huge regardless, right? But if he has a down year, that number is not going to be as big as he thought.
Well, it's already, I think, going to be down average-wise. Right. The power numbers are there for now, but as Eddie Matz pointed out when we had him on recently, it's not like he's been jacking them out that frequently lately.
Right. Right.
It's really sort of like smashing into the wall right here. But this has got to be the bottom. I got to imagine we're very, very close to the bottom here, and he's going to start breaking out.
And God forbid if he gets hurt, because he has a tendency to get hurt.
You're right.
So if he has a bad year, then gets hurt,
right?
Yeah, then it's...
I was more concerned with him shaving when he went to New York.
Right.
You know, like he's giving that subtle message to the Yankees, like, look at me with a clean
face.
Right,
the troll job.
Yeah, the old troll job.
Right.
But I think, I mean, Bryce is a robot baseball player. I feel like at some point he'll just break out of it. He's too good. But I also think that's hard why it's hard to connect with Bryce Harper. You know, when you look at him, he just looks like a guy who was built, and he is, right? Like he was built from when he was a kid to
he's
be
a, prodigy.
A baseball
player. All the prodigies are a little different.
They're a little different, so it's hard to connect with him personally, but I think as a baseball player, I can't imagine him.
Plus, he's a Golden Knights fan.
And he's a Golden Knights
when
fan.
When he wore that jersey.
I didn't want to say it. Look,
the fans turned on him from that moment.
I am fine with him rooting for the Golden Knights. He's from Vegas. It's his first time to wrap his arms around a team from his hometown. Yeah. I get it.
Right, but do what Valdez did.
But do you
Valdez
have to do it?
Valdez
do you have to
Orioles
come out to
fan.
A game to do it?
No, but here's what Valdez did. This is what he could have done. Valdez went to the Nats-Orioles game. And he didn't want to troll people wearing an Orioles jersey and deal with that. He just wore a titleless hat with a little Orioles on, bird on the back.
Sure.
Wow. Subtle.
You know what I mean? Low-key it.
I wouldn't be wearing Orioles gear at all.
right now.
No, that's another issue.
So he's got balls doing that.
You know, we talk about this on the show, perception versus reality. When you think about Bryce's contemporary, it's Mike Trout. What has Mike Trout won other than nothing, right? But what's the perception?
Multiple MVPs.
I mean in terms of Bryce, neither one has won a World Series.
Yeah.
So or playoff games for that matter. So,
but that being said, Bryce has been on much better teams than Mike Trout.
Absolutely, but the perception is Mike Trout, he's a man of the people, everyone loves him, he's a good guy. Bryce doesn't get that.
Right.
So it's perception
different
versus reality.
Different personalities. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure Bryce is a good guy, and we spent a little time with him here and there through the years. But you're right.
He's
a little bit different. He's definitely guarded, as most superstars are.
Yeah.
It's just
that's a fair point.
How
he came up with a little bravado and pissed some of the veterans off, like Cole Hamels.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, you know, he has that type of personality. Trout doesn't. Trout's not flashy. He just goes out and just goes 3 for 4 with a bomb and a couple doubles.
Yeah, but all that being said, he's a spectacular player.
They're just different. They're just different.
He's a spectacular player who's just, we're just seeing him right now at his worst. And he's bound to break out of it.
He's too good not to.
He's too good not to. The only thing that scares me is when Holden brought up 2016, when he kind of started spiraling downhill after the, you know, coincided after that Cubs stuff.
Oh,
remember
they
were walking him all the time. It kind of got in his head.
Yep.
Then we just had Eddie Matz on it. Eddie pointed out, you know, he had like 6 intentional walks in late April and was going real good kind of before then. So you wonder, there's something that kind of gets under his, he really does not appreciate that. He likes to get his hacks in there.
They're not intentionally walking him now.
And you just wonder, is this something that just could linger for the guy? You know, because he puts so much pressure on himself. There's no doubt he wants it, you know?
That would be strange if it lasted that long.
Yeah.
I mean, it could. It could go into late July. Who knows?
I'm a big believer in Rizzo's back of your baseball card. Like, eventually your numbers, if you're healthy, they tend to be sort of where they normally are. But
I feel like in a month we're going to be talking about how Bryce is out of his slump.
He's on fire.
He's on fire.
Maybe.
You know, where did this come from? He's out of his head. I can't foresee this being a year-long thing going on too much longer.
Look, that's a lot of money on the table, man. Maybe the guy's pressing.
I think it's a factor.
Yeah.
Maybe he's pressing.
Definitely a factor.
It's human nature to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, hey, man, I got no contract here. I want everybody to be excited about me. Yeah. And then you got the young kid that everyone's in love with.
Oh, he's
lighting it on fire,
he's
getting all the love.
Hey, listen, you can get 3 or 4 Sotos for what Bryce is going to cost you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, but I do want to state, as I stated the other night, Juan Soto's played like 25 games.
Right.
You know, so while I think he's going to be an absolute stud, I mean, I saw these comparisons, Juan Soto at this age versus Bryce Harper. It's like, okay, but Bryce Harper is a proven commodity.
Yeah.
And how many guys have come up to the major leagues and been awesome, and then you never hear of them again?
Sure, that definitely happens. The good thing for Soto, though, is that this is kind of what they projected.
Yes.
It wasn't like
I think he's going to be a stud.
Like a surprise.
Right.
When someone comes out of nowhere and surprises for a year or two, then you're like, where'd that come from? But this is, I mean, those in the know weren't surprised. We were surprised.
Yeah.
We didn't know a kid could play 2 weeks at AA and didn't do this.
And just move along and do this in the majors.
Had a retroactive home run.
This front office has a great track record.
They're unbelievable.
Bringing guys up through the farm. So to me, listen, I'd let Bryce walk personally. And I would put trust in my front office that they're going to be able to replace him with.
I can promise you they're thoroughly prepared to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thoroughly prepared to. They'd like to keep him if they could, but they'll win regardless.
One thing we know about Rizzo, which I love about him, is he always has a plan.
Yeah.
He's never unprepared. So they have every scenario played.
That's why
out.
I love this move for Herrera or whatever. I mean, that just took everybody by surprise. He'd been working on it for a month behind the scenes.
Yep.
And he didn't really part with any of your prize prospects to get him.
That's
the Rizzo
blueprint.
He's not going to
do. He's not going to give up a silly.
So what's on tap for tonight? What's the rundown tonight?
Yeah, Jinx.
We got about 9 meetings
first block
what are you
going to
talk about?
3 or 4 more hours of sleep as soon as I get out of here.
Yeah, that is your pre-show prep.
That's my pre-show prep right there.
That's the best prep you can have. Because then you come into the studio
be refreshed.
Fresh. You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
We do have a formula to the show. We started with a segment called 3-2-1. It's just the top 3 stories of the day, whatever they happen to be.
NBA draft, obviously, with the
Wizards. Obviously, sports, pop culture, everything. I mean, we cover it all. So we'll start with that, and then obviously we're going draft tonight. I know we have Corey Alexander, Chris Miles in studio.
Last night.
Oh, boy.
Well, my journalism career is just dying a slow death. Gary Carter, our producer, came into me and he had a.
What are you talking about? You got these fancy placards.
He said,
so deaf ear.
Gary had this look in his eye and he goes, hey. And I'm like, what? What do you want me to do?
Right, exactly.
And he said, would you dress up like Adam Silver? He goes, I could go to Party City and get a ball cap.
Scout.
Okay.
And so I did.
It
actually turned out all right. So I was studying Adam Silver before I went on the show.
Did you get yourself paler?
I don't have to work on that. I'm very
no,
pale.
I think okay. to be
you think
silver,
he's paler?
I think you need to get a bit paler. you're a little too much
and
color.
And by the way, you're a thin dude. You got to get skinnier.
That's saying something. So I just watched him, and he didn't have as dorky of a voice as I thought, but he does talk with his hands. He's like
yes,
like white Arsenio fingers.
Okay.
So like really long. He's very handsy.
Yeah. Okay.
So stuff like that sort of comes up in the middle of the afternoon. Maybe Adam will make another appearance
tonight.
That
makes it fun. You know, we were breaking these guys' balls before, and I'm sure they don't want us talking about it, but they got 100 meetings.
Like, so many meetings.
That's the thing about television. Like, if you do a show, regular show,
you got a lot of meetings.
You just have a ton of meetings. Yep. Everyone wants to know what B-roll they're going to run, what you're going to say when. They can run the graphics, and just everybody be on the same page. And it's just never ending.
Well, correct. A lot of our meetings are, though, to kind of monitor what we're going to say to keep us out of the principal's office.
Right. That's
because both of us can go off the reservation pretty quickly.
I get that.
That can happen.
We built a career on that.
But yeah. Let me ask you, how many meetings do you actually need?
All of them are very important.
Right.
We'd like to just say at NBC Sports Washington, so the manager does a great job.
I think I speak for everyone when I say every meeting serves a purpose.
That's right.
From 10. These guys, they're getting in there at 3 o'clock. The meeting, prep, do the show.
Chipotle in the middle of that.
Yeah, run over to Chipotle, do a show from 10 to 11, then a meeting. Yeah. Wrap up, you know,
wrap
figure
meeting.
Things out, kind of little idea, plant the seed probably for tomorrow, what you're going to do. And then, I mean, we're killing them. We're like, oh my God, we show up 5 minutes before the show and leave 5 minutes after. And I had to point out.
Thank God we're doing well.
If we weren't
doing well, we would have 10
Same
meetings.
Thing.
So many meetings.
Sure. But still, we're killing them. It's an 8-hour day.
Right.
It's only an 8-hour day.
That's
it's not
good.
Like,
that's a good point.
Not like
I guarantee there's people driving around the Beltway right now going, I got 8 meetings scheduled today.
You're right.
So,
right.
And
I'm not talking sports, guys.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And for me, the meetings take on a different meaning because when I was a producer, I was one of the guys leading the meetings, right?
Mm.
I was one
now
of the guys
they have a different.
Now I'm like sitting back, kind of taking it in, so it's cool.
But I continue my trend of zoning out like I always do.
as you should.
Right.
I mean, they're meetings. Like the first 2 or 3 minutes, you might pay attention. By minute 10, you're just like.
Minute 10, I've got it mastered where I just stare at a wall, but I nod like, yeah.
Right. You feign interest.
We've been lucky. We've had, I mean, you probably count on two hands the number of meetings we've had. You just don't have that many meetings,
right.
Luckily. But it's because if you do well, they don't bug you as much. But when we were at HFS, that was a different vibe. They weren't used to us. We kind of like were put on them.
Yeah, that was meetings palooza.
They wanted to meet all the time. And Jason had a rule. Every time we went in there, he's like, no questions.
Right.
No questions.
Don't ask any questions.
And how about this?
In fact, Jason would stand. He wouldn't even go into the room. He
would stand in the doorway.
that was my hint
to our program director.
It was only a once
we
a week.
We don't want to be here long.
Yeah.
It really was. Sit down.
Was it every Friday?
It was like a Friday. It was like the worst day of a meeting because you want to get out of there. But it was like a Friday, 10 a.m., right after the show meeting.
Wow.
And we'd always walk in there like, what are they going to say now? And Jason would say, whatever it is.
No questions.
At least we're consistent. We've hated meetings for 20 plus years.
Still
to this day.
Yeah, the company knows it.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I had my meeting peak when I was doing Sportsnet Central, and that show doesn't exist anymore. But for about 3 years, they let us have that show, and they sort of said, just do whatever. So I'd walk in every day, and Armand, my producer, would walk up and say, did you see the rundown? I'd be like, yeah. He goes, cool. And that was it.
Right.
That's the
done.
Best.
And we worked it out
That's
every
the
day.
That's the best way to
great.
Do it.
Right? That's how you do it. It's better that way.
That's
I
when
think.
You wind up drinking bourbon on the air.
That's how that happens right there.
Now, do you guys
it's a TV gold.
Will you guys do, I don't know if you do this. Do you do remote shows where you go out and do a show live at a restaurant or a bar?
That's the idea. I think they're working on that. The logistics of that.
But you haven't done it yet.
Getting us with a sponsor.
Especially from a bar. I mean, I think it would be such a cool vibe at 10 o'clock if you can do it live. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you've got a bunch of people sitting around. You can face some
That's
beer,
actually
interview
a lot of fun.
Some people. Yeah. Yeah, you could have a lot of fun with
that. So we haven't done it live yet, but we certainly have.
That'll have a whole new energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Pieces throughout the show where we're out and about and doing stuff out in the community.
All right, boys. Well, thank you for coming in. We've all got our thing. I'm going to put this over my bed.
Yes.
Even though they messed up Jake's hair. This is inexcusable.
Unbelievable, guys. It's the one thing I ask.
Right. When you're whistling when you get home, just look at that.
Right.
Think about those two guys.
I'll put it on my ceiling.
That is a terrible thought. It's a terrible way to end the interview.
Hey, listen.
Put it next to the mirror.
I want to say this. As a local kid who grew up here and listened to you guys my whole life, man, it's an honor to be here. I was texting with John Paul last night, man. So it's good to be here. And I'm a big fan of you guys.
Well, thank you. We're fans of you guys and continued success. It's awesome to see the new show off the ground. And, let's do it for 20 years.
Yep,
no doubt,
it's DC Sports Live with Jenks, Michael Jenkins, and Travis Thomas. It airs on NBC Sports Washington weeknights. At 10 p.m. Come on, go easy on the guys in the post-show meetings. Come on, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, let them go home.
Do about a minute or two.
Jenks and Travis, thanks so much, guys. Watch them tonight at 10 p.m. on NBC Sports Washington.
It was eh.
And they were good, I thought.
They could have lit us up in the first hour. They didn't.
I was talking about this during the break. You guys didn't see the video, I don't think.
I did not see this.
The guy in India. I think this came out within like the last 2 or 3 days. He's like a game warden manager. They caught a 13-foot python.
Right.
Him and like 2 or 3 other guys. And after they caught it, they didn't put it in like a habitat or whatever. They thought the next best thing to do with it once it was caught was to put it on his shoulders and pose for the other villagers and take some selfies with the 13-foot python.
Mm-hmm.
So they start snapping selfies. Everybody's getting in the picture. So the guy starts walking away from the villagers. And what do you think the snake starts doing?
It starts trying to strangle him.
It starts trying to constrict around his neck. The villagers start going crazy, start grabbing, like pulling it off of him. And then he shoos them away, and then he starts walking away with the snake again. Snake starts strangling him again
yeah.
until people pull it off of him.
Right.
Why are people messing with 13-foot pythons?
Mm.
Now, this comes on the heel of a woman who, I think 2 days earlier in Indonesia, left her house at night to go check on her garden because I guess like some creatures had been eating the corn at night. So she said, you know what? Got to make sure, you know, my corn is growing. I got to make sure nobody's in there.
Were there children in the cornfield?
There were not children. I like the joke. Old joke, but I like it. Children of the corn. She leaves with, I believe, a machete and a flashlight. She's checking her cornfield at night. By the way, she lives on an island off of Indonesia that is just filled with big, gigantic snakes.
Right.
She's checking the corn. And what do you think happens? She gets swallowed whole. By not a 13-foot python, a 23-foot python.
Can you imagine seeing that in person, how big that thing was? Jeez.
I mean, she's probably saw it for 5 seconds.
Have you ever held a boa constrictor or a python?
Yes, but here's
the key. I
mean, I
know they're about 3 feet long.
Yeah, they're very small. They're not to the point where they're longer than like a school bus.
No, you're right, but they're pretty cool.
They are.
I would never want one as a pet, but they're pretty cool.
But you can't have one as a pet.
No.
I mean, that's just insanity. No. I mean, if you have a real, like, constrictor snake as a pet, I mean, you're borderline, in my
Believe
opinion,
me, there's some,
serial killer type.
Right, there's some dogs in my neighborhood where I wish I had a python.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But no, I got to check that video out.
Those were two snakes in the news stories that I saw that caught my eye. Oh, and by the way, I did watch the video when they... When they opened up the, because they killed the 23-foot python that killed the woman. And then, of course, they cut open the snake and her fully intact body was pulled out of the snake.
She was sleeping. She was just sleeping. That's all
she was
doing.
Snoozing on the power of the 23-foot
snake.
She
was sleeping inside the snake's
body.
Oh,
yeah. She was sleeping, all right.
All right, can I hornswaggle a little EP in here?
I wish you would. The snake discussion?
No, it's fine. While you were doing that, I was... Previewing
prepping.
The EP.
You're prepping.
By the way, I'm doing my show prep.
By the way, they're right at
9:46.
They're right at the 90-minute mark in the Aussie-Denmark game. They'll probably have 4 minutes of extra.
He takes his time. It's looking good.
He's going to get the draw.
I mean, I think it's the worst bet ever.
He's going to get the draw.
Again, there's so much time left. I don't know why everybody's counting chickens
there's
all
not
of a sudden.
So much time.
It's like
there's
5 minutes.
There's
going to be 5 minutes.
All right, four and a half minutes.
You score a goal like this. Look, blink of an eye.
Every time there's a shot,
I'm just telling you. Take the under in all these games.
Soccer Cakes is on a little bit of a heater.
All right, we've been talking about this rapper that was killed, XXXTentacion. I don't know if that's how you say his name. We still don't know all these days later. But he has broken Taylor Swift's Spotify streaming record. His song, Sad, topped the global record for most single-day streams. I told you that song's a hit. It's silly. Let me see, how many? They did 10.4 million streams in 1 day, which topped your girl, T-Swift's 10.1 for Look What You Made Me Do.
Don't we do 10.4 each day? I think we do.
Not 10.4 million.
By the way,
nice.
Tay-Tay is coming to FedEx next month. You won't go.
You're right.
I don't know why you wouldn't go.
I've seen Tay-Tay. I saw her
last go around. It was awesome.
I saw Tay-Tay at the time was the Verizon Center.
Okay.
Now, Kinks.
You're right. I will not go to, it's at Nats Park.
It's at FedEx.
Oh, it's at FedEx. Yeah.
Two nights.
I won't do it.
You know how you talk about like people that wrap these pythons around their heads? Like, what are they doing?
Right.
Like, this is some pretty stupid stuff. Well, there's a contestant on America's Got Talent. I put her right there with them. She is doing a stunt on America's Got Talent, where she lies in a coffin and they blow it to smithereens with some sort of explosive.
She's taking my bit, but she's taking it to that next level.
Yes.
Good for her.
You didn't blow up your coffin. You were softy.
I did not blow up.
Her name is Annalise Knock of Sarasota, Florida. She's a female daredevil who performed the exploding coffin stunt on Tuesday's show. Judges Mel B and Howie Mandel looked on in horror as the coffin exploded. Obviously, she must have survived it. There's no report of her death. But she says she comes from a long line of daredevils, and she just decided she wanted to do something bigger and better, and this is her biggest stunt yet.
I don't really know my lineage because I was adopted, but I'm pretty sure I did not come from a long line of daredevils.
Yeah, you don't have that gene.
Risk takers.
No, you might have come from degenerate gamblers.
Now, that might be the case.
Right.
That could be
probably
a possibility.
Good chance that there's degen in your...
in my DNA.
Yeah, in your DNA.
The D stands for degen.
Right, right.
Not dengue fever, it's degen fever.
I feel it in my bones.
Valdez, you want to help me with this story here? Apparently, there's a new underwear line out there, lingerie, I guess. They're panties that are being branded as sexist. I don't quite understand why, but they're vibrating panties, and here's the thing. That's not new.
Yeah.
What's new is these are somehow, they must have Bluetooth in them or
Bluetooth.
Something. These are somehow tied into the World Cup. So every time there's a World Cup goal, your girl's panties vibrate.
Oh, really? Jason wants his to vibrate with a Denmark goal in about the next 2 minutes.
That would be nice. It's not going to happen.
So I guess is the idea that your wife's not into it, so you're trying to get your wife into the World Cup.
Oh,
so
honey, Denmark just scored! Oh,
I mean, you can understand the sexist angle.
Of course.
The idea is that the women aren't into it,
right.
And so to make them into it, you get them some vibrating panties.
So
every
I gotta give some to the team.
You might have to.
This might be dangerous if Ronaldo scores.
Yeah,
he's so dreamy.
Valdez and I had a funny discussion during the break about. Things.
Oh, you did?
We can't say.
Yeah, about who we'd like to sit next to on a plane.
Oh, yeah, you can't say that.
You definitely
keep that to yourself.
Yeah, you definitely have to keep that one to yourself.
I know who I voted for.
Oh, that was a funny discussion.
I voted for different than you and you.
Now, maybe we break out that story during the podcast years, whenever those years are.
I don't even know if that can survive a podcast.
I think it might be able to.
Just give me a blanket and a hand.
You just have to be very delicate with the language.
Maybe you can.
I think you probably can.
Yeah, but then Steinberg quotes you and puts it in his bog.
Okay, that's
and
a good point.
You're screwed.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
Right.
Wasn't thinking about Dan Steinberg.
It's
at
a
that
final
point.
Denmark Aussie 1-1.
Yeah,
tie.
Soccer cakes.
Soccer cakes
draft
is literally on fire.
Soccer cakes
that's
is draft. No name.
Soccer,
draft.
I've been giving you points.
Whatever. See, the guy right now is like 4-0.
Awad couldn't be any more distraught, by the way.
You told me Denmark.
He does a soccer podcast, and everyone on the show is begging Drab for his hot soccer picks.
Is that right? Is he jealous?
Oh, so jealous. Drab's getting all the attention and all the airtime.
He's super jealous.
And so he's running to Jason whenever he can to try and give him a 20-1 prop to hit, just so he could get some attention dollars.
He told me to bet a prop where a certain guy would score the first goal of the game.
Right.
It was 8-1.
Yeah, but you knew it's a grasper.
But all Drab does is pick winners.
No, of course not. I'm not going to do that.
Picks 2.5-1 winners.
Yeah.
Hey, not only did I pick a draw, I picked the final score would be 1-1.
Yeah,
it was plus 550.
Soccer Drab.
I actually did that.
My wallet's getting swollen.
You know
what?
Soccer Drab, I bow down to you. Props.
Would you put $10 on it over there, big time?
Five.
You want $25?
All right, last
soccer
but not
cakes
least.
Is crushing it.
These guys keep telling us we have to watch the new version of Queer Eye for a Straight Guy, right?
I've already completed season two.
Well,
already
one of the
done.
Stars
oh,
of it.
Silly.
Anthony Porosky. Is he a big silly on that show?
Yeah,
He's
the foodie.
He's the foodie. Well, that makes sense then because he's going to open a restaurant in New York City.
Oh, I would go.
I would definitely go there.
I mean, I haven't been to New York City in a while, but if I did, I would go.
Right.
With the French tuck.
I don't think I could pull off the French tuck.
Every time.
I think I look like I was trying too hard.
Right.
The French tuck.
I can only think of one thing when you say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. What squirrel does all the time.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Sorry, Glenn.
Exactly.
Just
all right. What
joke.
Soccer game do I have to look forward to later?
You got Croatia and
Argentina.
Argentina. And then right. you've got France and Peru. I need France to beat Peru. Some guy's telling me on the zip line that Peru's going to beat France.
I wish people understood
Unless they got Glenn Big Dog Robinson back, they're not going
to
beat him.
People don't understand how bad Valdez wants Bruce to be on the show.
He's desperate.
Bruce's not
for
on the show. It's a bad show to Valdez.
All right, let's do it.
It's got to be
Bruce,
quick.
What's up?
Not much. Everything's cool.
Good. You got an announcement?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Hey, Rush.
Yeah.
Can I give you a interest-free loan?
Can I give you an interest-free loan?
Of course he can.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you take an interest-free loan
everybody
from Bruce?
Everybody would take an interest-free loan. I'm not sure I'm understanding where that's coming from.
Because
I've been talking about the finances.
Yeah, it's finances. Oh,
I've got no
weird
money.
Something happened.
Take the free money.
Something happened to you.
Just
I don't know
take
what.
The free
yeah,
money. We
marriage.
Have to get out of here. Grant and Danny coming up next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.